Well, to remind you in opening tonight of the meeting that we have coming up next Sunday morning, beginning at our regular time together at 10 o'clock, Brother Mo Haefeli is going to be here with us, and we hope that you have opportunities and make those opportunities available to yourself all next week as he will be here with us. And as was mentioned this morning, let's not forget there is a meal list in the back for those who might like to have him over for a meal and feed him, get to know him just a little bit better. I think you'll find him quite an outstanding individual, a preacher of the gospel, very personable individual. Well, the time to have it together this evening, I'd like for us to speak about the privileges that we have as children of God and also the obligations that have come our way as being children of God. In the country in which we live, we have great blessings given unto us. We have the freedom to do as we please in many instances. We have the highest standard of living, perhaps, that ever man has enjoyed. We have the opportunity to avail ourselves of any kind of education that we want. We're able to travel whenever we want to, and just about, you know, we're not limited in that. We don't have people telling us where we can and we cannot go. And perhaps this is the greatest time in the history of mankind in which we have to live, in which we have to enjoy blessings. In our society, we have the right to vote. If we don't like the way certain things are going, we can vote people in and out of office. We also have a choice of jobs. We're not told that you've got to do this or you've got to do that. You must stick with that. We can choose where we might want to live also, the location in which we live. We're not told. We have those kind of freedom. We have protection from other nations because of the military might that is ours. These privileges, of course, came at a very high price for us. And we maintain those privileges at a very high price and those freedoms. And that is the lives of those who gave their blood and gave whatever they had to do, even their all, so that we might have these freedoms. But as we recognize, with these freedoms and with these privileges, there also comes obligations. I think we find in our society today that there are far too many who think that the freedoms that they have and the privileges that have come to them are something that is owed to them, something that is theirs by right. And as a result of that, we find these individuals thinking that they have no obligations to fulfill. Many times we find them that way, no obligations to fulfill toward these privileges. But without being responsible for the obligations and what we have, sooner or later we're going to lose the privileges and the freedoms we have. We understand this, and therefore we obey the laws of the land. We pay our taxes. We respect the authority that sets up the laws that are there. We do all of these things so that we might have the privileges and the freedoms that we enjoy. We find in the Word of God there's a very strong parallel between citizenship here in a nation and the spiritual citizenship that we have in heaven as children of God. In Philippians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21, Paul talks about that citizenship that we have. He says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our bodies, our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." We have a citizenship in heaven. As children of God, we're part of a spiritual kingdom. And as citizens in that kingdom, we have privileges and we have obligations. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19, Paul writes there again about citizenship. He says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Now with this citizenship that we have, there are many privileges that have come our way. And once again, there was a very high price that was paid to secure these privileges for us, for our citizenship to be in this kingdom that was established by God, over which Christ is the King. Of course, that high price was the blood of Jesus Christ, as he shed it on the cross of Calvary to purchase us, to redeem us from Satan, and to buy us unto his kingdom. There are certain obligations, though, we have to understand that comes with this citizenship. We simply cannot enjoy the privileges that God and the blessings that God has provided for us and disregard altogether the obligations that we have. And this evening we want to point out some of those privileges that we have as well as the obligations. I guess we might say a little bit lazy this afternoon and did not get the outlines made out, so I'm going to have to write on the board. And so if you want to copy some of these things as we go down, that'll be fine with me. We have certain privileges as citizens in the kingdom of God. In that spiritual kingdom, we have certain blessings. One of those things that we have is the privilege of calling God our Father. Have you ever stopped to think about what a great privilege this is? To be able to call the God of heaven our Father. What an honor it is sometimes when we find ourselves related to someone that everybody in this world admires. You know, it's maybe kind of hard for us to find an individual in this world that everybody admires, but perhaps there are those that everybody looks up to. And what a privilege it is if we find ourselves related to that person in some way. What a great privilege it is for some people that they are related perhaps to John Glenn or to Neil Armstrong. And they can point to that individual and say, well, that's my cousin, that's my relative. They're proud of that, to be able to do that. In the area of sports, someone might point to Johnny Bench and say, that's my cousin, he's a member of my family. We might also think to ourselves, if perhaps we think of the great preachers in the past, we could point to J.D. Tan and say, that man was my relative, or Franklin Puckett. Or we would be able to say that we could trace our lineage back to Alexander Campbell. It'd be a privilege for us, wouldn't it? That'd be an honor that we had. We'd be proud of those kind of things. To say that that individual is related unto me. Well, what a great honor it ought to be for us as children of God to be able to call the God of heaven our Father. To say that we had that kind of relationship to the one who by a power of his word simply spoke into existence everything that is here and everything that we see. Who set in motion by his powers the laws that govern our life. What a privilege that is to address him as our Father. In Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 6 down through verse 15, we find that this is exactly what Christ taught his disciples. They wanted to know how to pray. And he begins the prayer by saying, here is what you do. You say, our Father who art in heaven. Now this was a new concept to the Jews. Of course, we know that under the old law, they were called the children of God. But they always referred to him as God or Jehovah or the Lord. But for a Jew to be able to address the God in heaven as our Father was a new concept for them. Hard for them to understand how they would be able to do that. Certainly they understood the child-father relationship. But Christ is saying, you have this obligation, you have this privilege now of being able to address him as our Father who art in heaven. Think of the privilege of prayer itself just for a moment. That we're able to go to him and we're able to pour out our heart's desires and our petitions and our intercessions before the God and creator of all mankind. In Luke chapter 11 and verses 9 through verse 13, we find there that Christ is telling his disciples, seek and ye shall find, ask and it will be given unto you, knock and it will be opened unto you. And then he expresses concerning our earthly fathers. He says, if they who are evil, he's talking about earthly fathers, not in the sense of being evil in wickedness, but in comparison to God, that if they are wicked and they know how to give good gifts unto their children, how much more should the Father in heaven give good gifts unto his children? He is saying here that we have that privilege and that blessing. to be able to go to God in prayer. In James chapter 1 and verses 5 and 6, we find James writing there concerning prayer unto God and how we ought to pray. He says that God gives liberally to those who ask Him in faith, nothing doubting. We have a privilege here of saying to the Creator of mankind, our Father, or my Father, who art in heaven. In 1 John 3 and verse 22, it says, whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments, and we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. He answers our prayers. He hears these petitions and these intercessions that we make unto Him. What a great privilege that ought to be for us to recognize that our Creator is willing to have this kind of relationship with us. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 29. We find that the Lord, it says there that the Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of those who are righteous. Those who are His children and follow His commandments, we have the promise of God that He is going to listen to the things that we have to say. This is a privilege that we have as citizens in this kingdom. And what a great privilege it is. Those who are not in the kingdom of God, those who do not enjoy the citizenship of that kingdom of heaven, they don't enjoy this privilege at all. Now think about that for a moment. If you're here this evening and you're not a child of God, you don't have this privilege. You don't have the right to say, our Father who art in heaven, because you're not part of the kingdom. You don't make up that household, that family of God. Who are you going to pray to if you're not going to pray to the Father in heaven? If you're not a child of God, you don't have that right. You don't have that privilege. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9, the statement is made there, he who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. If you're not a child of God, you're not listening to the will of God. As a result, why should God in heaven listen to things that you have to say? Listen to your prayers. Says that that person that turns his ear away from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. We have, as children of God, this great blessing that we can address our Father who art in heaven. We have another privilege, and that is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our mediator. He is the one that stands or goes between us and God. I'm convinced that perhaps we don't truly understand fully this position of mediator between God and man. We live in a society and in a government where we have access to almost anybody we want to. We can go see those people who are important. We can have an audience with those individuals that make laws in government. We can go see them on our own. But under monarchies and under dictatorships, of course, which most people lived under during the time of Christ and before that, access to the king, access to that individual who was in rule, was not something that is easy. It was not something that they were very accessible for the common individual. And many times it would take somebody who knew the king as well as who knew the people who wanted to come before the king, before that person could see the monarch, before that person could see the one who was in rule. It would take a mediator between the two before the two could get together. And this is what Jesus Christ has done for us concerning the Father who is in heaven. We as His creatures seek the favors and the blessings of God. But we on our own cannot approach Him. Even in our most holy attempts, even in our most holy and righteous living, as pious as we strive to be, our righteousness in the sight of God is still filthy rags. We cannot approach Him. And so we seek His favors and we seek His blessings, but there is no one to go between until Jesus Christ came along. until Jesus Christ became that one to stand between us and the Father and give us access unto the Father. That's the privilege that we have in this citizen, as citizens in this kingdom. Because without Jesus Christ, no one has access to the Father. Not a one of us can approach the throne of God without Jesus Christ's help, Him standing between us and God, being that mediator and giving us a way to the Father. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Christ made the statement, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." In 1 John chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, we find John saying there by inspiration that Jesus Christ is our advocate. That word advocate means an aid. Literally from the Greek, it means call to one's side. Here is Jesus Christ who has been called to our side to mediate or to be the advocate between us and the Father. What a great privilege that is. And only those who are part of the kingdom of God have that privilege. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 2. It says there that there is one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ, or the man, Christ Jesus. Those still in their sins, those who are not in the kingdom, enjoying the blessings as citizens that are found there, they do not have this privilege. They do not have the blessing of Jesus Christ as the mediator, as their advocate. And Paul talks about those individuals in Ephesians 2, 11 and 12, where he says there that they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were talking about citizenship. We're talking about being a part of that kingdom and the privileges that come. And he says those who are outside of Christ, still in their sins, they're aliens from that. They're separated. They don't enjoy the blessings found in Jesus Christ. They are without God. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6 and verses 9 and 10 of the sins that those people had engaged in their former life before they became children of God. And he said those that were in those sins could not inherit the kingdom of God. They couldn't enjoy those blessings. They don't have this privilege of Jesus Christ being a mediator between them and God. All spiritual blessings are found in Jesus Christ. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, every spiritual blessing is found in our mediator, Jesus Christ, as he gives us access unto the Father in heaven. And those who are in the kingdom enjoy that privilege. In John 15 verses 5 through 8, Christ there says that he is the vine and we are the branches, and we must abide in him, in Christ, and in so doing we bear much fruit, for without him we can do nothing at all. And the fruit that we bear in Jesus Christ gives glory unto the Father. All of these things are privileges that we have in Jesus Christ. We also have the privilege as being a part of this kingdom of wearing the right name. We talked about it a few minutes this morning and people misapplying the name of Jesus Christ and wearing it when they don't have the right to do that. But as citizens in the kingdom, we have the privilege of wearing his name. You know, not everybody in this world can call themselves an American citizen. Just because they would like to be, and perhaps there are millions around this world who would like to enjoy being a citizen of the United States. But not everybody can simply say that if just because they want to. Or even because they might follow the laws that are there, they simply cannot call themselves American citizens. They have to be a part of this government. They have to meet certain standards. They have to obey certain laws before they can enjoy the privileges that are there. It's the same spiritually. We do not have the right to call ourselves Christians if we have not been obedient under the gospel of Jesus Christ. We cannot wear the name of Christ, which was prophesied of in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 2, it says there that they will be called by a new name, one that the Lord would name. And as we studied again this morning, there in the New Testament, There, beginning in Acts 11 and verse 26, that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. I believe that is the name that is given God's children, that they have a right and the privilege of wearing that name that nobody else has the privilege to do. Only those who are part of the kingdom. That we are Christians. And this belongs only to those who follow and who are in Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is found in no other name but the name of Jesus. This is what Peter had to say in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which you must be saved. We only have salvation through the name of Jesus Christ. And as members of the citizens in that kingdom, we have the privilege of wearing the name of Jesus Christ. Because we are his followers. We are ones who are obedient unto his word. There's a privilege also in Jesus Christ that he provides for us in this kingdom as being citizens. We have provisions given unto us, both physically and spiritually. Physically, we know he provides for us because of the things that Christ himself teaches in Matthew chapter 6. Beginning in verse 25 down through the remainder of the chapter, Christ here is instructing his disciples not to be so overly concerned and worried about physical things in this life. He says you worry about clothing, you worry about shelter, you worry about food. All these things, he says, God's going to provide for you. In verse 33, he makes the statement there, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these other things will be added unto you. He tried to get our priorities straight there. And he says, if you put me first, the kingdom of God and righteousness, your obedience unto God above everything else, then God's going to take care of these provisions. He's going to provide with us food, clothing, and shelter. He's going to give unto us the necessities of life if we put him first. As citizens in the kingdom, this is a wonderful privilege that we have because we are concerned with where our food is going to come from, our shelter, and our clothing. But as citizens, we have the promise of God that he's going to provide for us. But not only physically, but most especially, he is going to provide for us spiritually. He's going to give us those things that sustain our spiritual life, which is far more important than our physical life. We sometimes get it confused, don't we? Most people do. The most important part of their life is their physical existence, and they could care less about their spiritual life. But this physical life is going to end someday. Spiritual life is going to continue. Either in heaven, where we enjoy the blessings with God and with Christ, or that life is going to continue in a place called hell, separated from God, where there is torture and torment. It's going to be one of those two places. Spiritual life is going to continue. Physical life is going to end. Therefore, spiritual life ought to be more important to us. And Jesus Christ provides for us the things that we need spiritually. He provides for us the water of life. John chapter 4, speaking to the Samaritan woman there at the well, he says, I have water to give you that if you take, you won't have to thirst again. You won't be thirsty again. He can provide that kind of spiritual water for us, the water of life. And of course, what he's talking about is his word. He refers to it over in John chapter 6 as being the bread of life. He is the bread of life, his word. He has provided these things for us so that we can grow and we can stay alive spiritually. He's made these provisions for us. And this is a very wonderful privilege that we're able to enjoy as children of God. There are far too many people in this world who spiritually are starving, and they don't know about it. They're unaware of this fact. Jesus Christ provides for us. He gives us these things. That's a great privilege that we have. He gives also unto us, and probably going to have to get way down here to get this last one. He gives protection unto us. He provides protection in our life, both physically and spiritually. Now, this does not mean, of course, that in providing protection for us and being one of the wonderful privileges as citizens in the kingdom, that does not mean that we're never going to suffer. That doesn't mean that no harm is ever going to befall us. That does not mean that we're never going to die. We're a part of this natural world which God has created. We live physically, and as a result of that, we're going to suffer. Harm's going to come to us. Eventually, we are going to die. What it means, though, is that spiritually, and most importantly, we have protection from God. We're going to suffer in this life. We're going to live in this world. And persecutions are going to be ours if we're going to strive to be children of God. But most importantly, in His protection, we have spiritual protection. We have spiritual comfort that He gives unto us, which once again is far greater, should be of far more importance unto us. In John chapter 10 and verse 29, many times, but especially here, we are compared to sheep. And Jesus Christ is the great shepherd that provides protection for us. And He makes the statement there that we are within the hands, basically we're in the hands of the Father. Nobody is greater than the Father. Nobody can snatch us out of His hand. We can leave the fold of safety. We can on our own go back into the world. But as long as we are within that fold of safety, God protects us, and nothing, no spiritual harm is going to come to us. We have the promise of God concerning that. John chapter 16 and verse 33. Shortly before Christ was to die, He's talking to His disciples there, and He says, "In this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Jesus Christ is able to protect us. This is a wonderful privilege that we enjoy as citizens in God's kingdom. Finally, another privilege that we have is the promises that are made. There are many promises that God has made unto His children. But one of those we find is the forgiveness of our sins. Here's a promise God's made. We enjoy that. We talked about it this morning. It is our sins that have separated us from God. It is our sins that cause us to spiritually die. And in order for us to enjoy blessings and to be spiritually alive, those sins have to be taken out of the way. And there is a privilege in the kingdom of God that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can have forgiveness of our sins. That's the only place we have it. That's the only avenue through which we can have forgiveness. Nothing else can provide that for us. This is a privilege that we have. We also are going to enjoy the promise that God has made to those who are faithful unto death, and that is, we can have eternal life. We can have eternal life with God and with Jesus Christ and enjoy all of those blessings in this place where there's going to be no night, no pain, no sickness, no death. We'll be able to enjoy that. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, Paul makes the statement there, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Here is the gift of God. The privilege of those who enjoy or who are in the kingdom and part of the citizen of being a citizen in that kingdom. We have the promises and we enjoy those privileges that are made. Or those promises that are made. In 1 John 2 and 25. And this is the promise that He has promised, even eternal life. There are privileges upon privileges that we have in God's kingdom, as being citizens in that heavenly kingdom over which Christ is the King, over which He gives us provisions and protection, and we enjoy the promises that He has made. But as we said, just as in the physical life, there are obligations that we have to fulfill if we are going to enjoy the privileges that God has provided for us. Some of those obligations that we have is that we respect the authority that's found in God. The authority that's found in Jesus Christ our Lord. We respect that authority. That's an obligation that we have. In Jesus Christ abides the authority of God the Father. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. After his resurrection and before he ascended into heaven, he said there, "All power and authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth." In Jesus Christ is all power and all authority. And we have to respect that authority if we're going to enjoy the privileges in God's kingdom. We have to obey the commandments that he has given under all conditions. Under all conditions, we obey the commandments of Jesus Christ. We're not given the allowance to change anything in the law. We cannot add to, nor can we take from. Our obedience is unconditional. We cannot say to God that I will be obedient and I will respect the authority that is in Jesus Christ, your Son. I will fulfill that obligation unless certain conditions exist. And then I'll ask to be exempt from that. We cannot do that. Our obedience is unconditional. We obey Jesus Christ and his laws under all circumstances. That is our obligation. You know, this country in which we live would not last for very long if we as the citizens decided we're not going to respect the authority. We're not going to obey the laws that ought to be enforced. We're simply not going to do that. If we didn't respect the authority of the laws that govern this land, sooner or later, we would lose the privileges that we have. We would lose the privileges that we have as citizens because this country would not stand for very long. Others would take them from us. It's the same with our obligations toward God. When we fail to respect the authority that is found in Jesus Christ our Lord, then we lose the privileges that God has given unto those who would be faithful members of that kingdom. We have to respect the authority of Jesus Christ our Lord. We have another obligation, and that is we honor the name of Christ. As we said, we have the right to wear the name of God, the name of Jesus Christ, as citizens in that kingdom. But in order to enjoy that privilege, we also have to honor the name of Christ. We cannot be seeking our own glory, but we must seek the glory that comes unto God. We owe too much to God our Father, to Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. We owe too much to them to be selfish, to be self-centered, to only want or to think of our own wants and our own desires. Self-denial is something that is commanded by God and by Christ to those that would be his followers. We have to deny ourselves. Christ makes that statement in Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 24 down through verse 27. And this is something that we have as unto God an obligation to keep this commandment. If anyone desires to come after me, Jesus is saying, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? We find that this is something that Christ is instilling upon those who are his disciples. That you have to deny yourself. We seek to honor the name of Jesus Christ that we have the privilege of wearing. And the way that we do that, the way that we honor that name, is by being obedient unto his commandments. He tells his disciples once again In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, "Even so let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." We have an obligation in everything that we do to give honor to the name that we wear. And therefore we have this privilege. We have the privilege of wearing the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. But there's another obligation that comes to us as we strive to be faithful unto God. And that is, we are obligated to defend the cause of Jesus Christ, to defend His Word, to defend that cause of Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to be prepared to do battle. We live in a world that is filled with wickedness. We live in a world where there is a constant battle between that which is good and that which is evil. That which is according to the Word of God and that which is directly opposed to what God has to say. And an obligation that we have in this battle as soldiers of the cross of Christ is that we are to defend His Word. We're supposed to do that. Paul said in Philippians 1 and verse 17 that he was appointed or set for the defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As soldiers, in defending the truth, God has given armor for us to put on. And Paul talks about that in Ephesians chapter 6. We are to put on these things in this battle and be prepared to defend the cause of Christ. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 says that we are to be diligent to show ourselves approved unto God. And in verse 3 of that same chapter, he says, "Endure or suffer hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." As I said, we live in a world that is filled with wickedness, that it seems that truth and that which is right is being attacked almost daily. We have an obligation unto God to defend the cause of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but it seems to me that every day I'm sickened by some of the things that I hear. I am made almost literally and physically sick when I hear the name of God being used in vain. When I hear the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord, being used with a long line of profanity after and before it. I get sick of hearing that. I'm sickened by the things that I hear from time to time about the people who would want to defend the lifestyles that they are engaged in based upon the Word of God. I'm sickened when they take the Word of God and they defend their homosexuality, and they defend their different lifestyles, saying that Jesus Christ accepts them, saying that Jesus Christ or God made them the way that they were. I'm sickened when I hear people take the Word of God and pervert it to their own ends and to fulfill their own lust. That makes me sick. And I need to defend the cause of Jesus Christ. I have that obligation to, whenever I hear the Word of God being perverted, that I speak up for what is right. That's an obligation that I have in this kingdom, that God has provided so many privileges for me. Finally, in this, we find an obligation, and we just simply want to call this being active. That I am an active child of God each day of my life. We have been given by God life. And life, I am convinced, by its very definition, means activity. There are things we are to be engaged in. James says in James chapter 1 and verse 22 that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because hearers only delude their own self. We have got to be doers. Christ made a very strong statement in John chapter 9 and verse 4. He makes the statement there as he is speaking unto his disciples. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. For the night is coming when no man can work. Jesus Christ said, I must be about my Father's business. I must work the works of him who sent me. Christ said, there is an obligation that I have. In saying must, that's what he's saying. That's the way I understand that. I must be doing this. I have an obligation to God, to the Father in heaven, to be about this. That's an obligation that I have. I must be daily about my Father's business. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, Paul makes the statement as he quotes from the Old Testament that the just shall live by faith. And once again, I look at that word live. And that is day-to-day activities. That's action every day of my life. I must be active in these obligations. I am going to live by faith. If I am going to be just, if I am going to be righteous, I have an obligation of being active every day of my life in defending his cause, in honoring his name, in respecting the authority that is found in his word. Really, all these obligations, we might say, are rolled up in one thing, and that is being obedient unto the commandments of God. I must obey Christ. I have that obligation. If I'm going to enjoy these privileges that God has provided for me, then I have got to live up to these obligations. If I want to enjoy these, I've got to do this. Because if I don't do this, then I'm going to lose these. I believe it is just that simple. We have privileges, great and wonderful privileges under our Lord Jesus Christ. We enjoy them as citizens in his kingdom. But in that, we have obligations also. Is it too much to give one for the other? What I'm saying here is that do the obligations that I have outweigh the privileges that I enjoy? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. We could probably take any one of these separate, and they would be worth all the obligations we have in God's kingdom. What a privilege it is to address the Creator as our Father. What a privilege it is to have Jesus Christ as the one who mediates between us and the Creator. What a privilege it is to wear His name, to know that He provides and protects for us and gives unto us the things that we need. What a privilege it is that he has made promises, and we know that he is faithful to fulfill those promises. I think we understand that one really follows the other. That in reality, we can't separate them. We can't separate the privileges that we have from the obligations that are ours in the kingdom of God. In closing, we would just simply ask the question, are you enjoying the privileges in God's kingdom? We mentioned just a few moments ago about prayer. Those who are not in the kingdom of God, in the family of God, we ask you to think about it just for a moment. That you don't have the right to call God Father. Oh, He is your Creator. He brought you into existence. But because of your sins, you're separated from Him. And only those who are in His family have the right to address him as Father. You can enjoy that blessing, that privilege this evening by rendering obedience unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're here this evening and not a child of God, set aside whatever it is that is holding you back. Set aside those things that stand between you and God, whatever it might be, because it's not worth holding on to if you lose your eternal soul. If you're here, you're subject to the invitation. The song's been selected. Won't you make your wishes known as we stand and as we sing?